Initiation means beginning. These six devotees are now formally entering into their relationship as disciples of the spiritual master, and formal entrance into the sampradaya, connecting with all the acharyas now by a firm vow. This diksha is absolutely essential for one who wants to go back to home, back to Bali. So the Bhagavad would explain that without initiation, one cannot go back to Bali. So what is the position of initiation along the pathway of bhakti? Rupa Goswami described 9 different stages of achieving pure devotion. The first step is to have faith, shraddha. And then, after one has faith, the next thing is, one becomes interested to associate with pure devotees of the Lord, those who are strictly following the path of Krishna consciousness. And then in that association, one sees what the devotees are doing, how they practice Krishna consciousness, what is the system to becoming purified. They learn so many things by that association, how to chant on the beads, how to offer the food, how to bow down before the deities, bow down before Guru, bow down before Vaishnavas. They learn so many things by associating with devotees. And the next step is, now that they've abided all of those different processes by association, now it's time for them to take it seriously and do it themselves. So this initiation takes place as the third step. It's called Bhajana Kriya. One takes up the activities of bhakti. In this connection, Rupa Goswami emphasizes the importance of this step. He says, Adau Garashtayam. The very first step is to take Sharupana by spiritual master by initiation. And then what do you do then? Is that now your business is finished? I'm initiated, I can do whatever I want? No. When you enroll in the university, does that mean you have a degree? You don't have to study, you don't have to do your own. You don't have to attend the lectures, you don't have to sit for exams. No, when you're registered in the university, now you're committed to doing all the assignments, going to the lectures, writing the exams, etc. So initiation means now you're committed. You've made this vow, you've made this commitment before the fire, before the deities, before the Vaishnavas, before Prabhupada, who's on the altar here as well, before Guru. You've made this commitment. Now it's a very, very solid ground, you see. And now I will take the order of my spiritual masters, my life and soul. I will always meditate on his instructions. And I will try my level best to always carry them out. So this process then, coming to the level of Vajana Kriya, now it continues to grow and expand. It's like a blossoming lotus flower. It continues to blossom and expand. After this Vajana Kriya, in which one becomes initiated, then what happens? You become free from so much contamination within the heart. Of course, there's a certain amount of contamination you have to get free from even to get initiated. If someone is getting initiated, that means for at least 1 year they've been chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day on the Japa Mala reads. It means that they've given up illicit sex, they've given up media, intoxication, and gambling. So these anarthas are already finished at the time of initiation. So why is it said anartha nivritti comes after initiation? Because there's a lot of subtle dirt in there too. You see, there's lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. We have these accumulations of subtle contaminations going back for millions and millions of lifetimes. It's very thickly encrusted crud. So it doesn't come off just like that. It takes hard work. You have to meditate every day in Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You have to try to do your devotional activities in the mood of devotion, not just mechanically to get it over with. Every single service that you're given by Guru and by Vaishnava, you should take that as a great blessing. This is an opportunity for me to connect myself in love with Krishna and the acharyas who represent him. So every single service, whether I'm sweeping the floor, whether I'm offering an arti, distributing a book, raising my child in Krishna consciousness, whatever service I may have, I should take this as an opportunity to connect with that person. Who is that person? Krishna. Is Krishna present? Yes. Can we see him? Well, in the deity form we can. In our neophyte stage, we cannot see Krishna directly face to face. But he is present. He is fully present. So this qualification to be able to see Krishna is that one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love. This is described by Brahmanji in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayesha valokayanti yam shyam shunyam achintya guna swarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. When one's eyes are anointed by the salve of love of God, then you can see Krishna everywhere, within and without. So this process of initiation is part of that anointing of the eyes and the salve of love of God. It's a vital step to get this medicine injected. Requires initiation. To get the full injection of the medicine requires initiation. So by this process, chanting Hare Krishna, following the rules, this is very important, to follow the rules and regulations of Bhakti Yoga. Some devotees say, well, just, you know, the rules aren't very important. Just go into spontaneous love. Just jump into Raghavamara, spontaneous love. Why bother with so many rules and regulations? That's for the neophytes. Just be an advanced devotee and jump into Raghavamara. If you hear someone preaching like that, you should understand this is Sahaja philosophy. You can't enter your Raga Marga until you're completely free of spontaneous love, you see. Until you're completely free from all the contamination within the heart. You have to become completely, you have to become a liberated soul, you see. So don't think that you don't have to follow the rules and regulations. Just like if somebody's in the hospital, what are they there for? They get healthy. In their healthy state, they can eat whatever they want. They can have ice cream, cake, pie, pizza. When they're in the hospital in a sick condition, they are on a very restricted diet, you see. The person who is sick in the hospital cannot imitate the diet of a healthy person. So now we are sick. We are contaminated with lust, with envy, with the material contaminations. So we have to follow strict rules and regulations. We have to strictly avoid illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. We have to rise early, we have to bathe the body, we have to shave the face, keep the Prabhupada said, keep the face clean shaven. Now, these are the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. So if we follow, observe the Kadasi, observe Janmashtami, so many wonderful, wonderful procedures and formulas have been given to us by Prabhupada. We don't need to add more and more, but just whatever Prabhupada has given, we should do that in the first class way. Very first class way. Because by this process, gradually, 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 the anartha, that dirt, becomes loosened and it becomes expunged from the psyche, from the consciousness. This process does work. It's not some ritual. This is a scientific process of clarifying your consciousness. Just like you can take butter, and by boiling it, you can turn it into pure ghee. Well, it's called the impurities of the butter, you see. They come out and you're left with ghee. So this is now you're on the fire. You're boiling in the fire. Initiation means now I'm sitting down in the fire and I'm going to boil. And let all those impurities come out. So I become a ghee-like consciousness, free of all impurities, you see. It's very auspicious to take this diksha. Prabhupada actually told us in Los Angeles, I have the exact quote here, he says, this is on 5 January 1974. Prabhupada says, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adao Gara Shrayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue the advice and instructions of the spiritual master of the Shastra, then you become deathless, no more death. So Prabhupada says, or the Shastra, that means you can neglect the spiritual master and just serve the Shastra? Is that what Prabhupada means? No, the Shastra says you have to serve the spiritual master. So whether you follow the spiritual master or the Shastra, it's the same thing. Because the spiritual master is giving you the Shastra instructions. So, just think, what does this mean? You become deathless from the very day of initiation. What does that mean? Now it means you're firmly establishing yourself as that spiritual entity who is the eternal servant of Krishna. Now you're going to live in that consciousness at every moment. From the moment you wake up in the morning, you could sleep at night, and even in your dreams, as you advance, your dreams will become surcharged with Krishna consciousness. It means now you're going to act in the capacity of being Krishna's servant, no longer a servant of your material senses. So, if you take this initiation as the one commitment of your eternal existence, this will liberate you. This will bring you to the transcendental platform. Now you're entering into your eternal spiritual identity. But if you break the principles, if you violate the principles, you fall down to that position. You enter in the world of death once again. So if you want to be immortal, if you want to be deathless, now these vows you're taking today, you must never deviate from ever for all eternity. And if you do that, you remain deathless. You remain eternally deathless. So on these days, Prabhupada wanted that the 10 offenses to be avoided while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should be discussed. When they say, well, isn't just following the 4 rules and chanting 16 rounds enough? Why do we have to bring in the 10 offenses on such a festive day as initiation day? Well, the fact of the matter is, you can chant 16 rounds for millions of lifetimes and not go back to Godhead if you haven't learned to avoid the 10 offenses. So I mentioned anartha nivritti. You're already giving up illicit sex, music, intoxication, gambling for a whole year just to sit in the ceremony. But now, how are you going to enter Anartanavritti, the next stage after Bhajana Kriya or initiation? How will you enter into that? By learning how to avoid these namaparas, you see. By avoiding these namaparas, now you will fulfill the true meaning of Anartanavritti. Anarta means those unwanted dirts in the heart, Nivritti means getting rid of. So these 10 offenses are very important because these will, avoiding these 10 offenses will carry you to the next stage, Anartanavritti. They're very, very important to know these 10 offenses and to strictly avoid them. And the first one is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. That means we should always respect the devotees. Always have a respectful attitude towards Vaishnavas. And we should show that in our dealings too. We should always show respect to other devotees. Now sometimes we disagree with each other. Someone says, the deity, you should wear a red outfit today. Someone says, no, a green outfit today. So that means they become disrespectful because they have a different opinion? No. Even if we have difference of opinion, that must be we must have a respectful difference of opinion. A very important thing. We must always keep that respect for the devotees. And that way we won't blaspheme the devotees. The second offense is to consider the names of demigods, like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Not that we can chant Shiva Shiva or Durga Durga. It's the same thing. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. The demigods are simply subordinate assistants of the Lord who work within this particular material universe to engage in the activities of the functions of the universe. It's like Indra brings the rain, for example. There's actually 33 million demigods and they all have different departments of duty. Just like when you blink your eye, I just saw you blink your eye. Some demigod is under the control of some demigod. There's a demigod who's in charge of your eye blink. So in every little aspect of this material creation is under some demigod's direction. So to try to placate all the demigods doesn't make sense. I mean, how long will it take you to do 33 million pujas? Satisfy 33 million demigods. And what if you leave, you know, one of them out? What will he think? You see? So instead of trying to serve the demigods who are just assistants of the Supreme, just serve Krishna directly. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you eat, every part of your body needs food, doesn't it? Your ear needs nutrition, so do you rub the food in your ear? No. You put the food in your belly. By giving the food to your belly, then that energy is distributed to every single part of your body. So all we have to do is surrender to Krishna. All we have to do. And the way to surrender in this age is given in the Brihad Naradiya Purana. Haranama, 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 Ivukevalam, Kulona, Stavana, 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 Yatira, Nyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other alternative, there is no other alternative, there is no other alternative for God realization in this age of Kali. So surrender to Krishna in this age by chanting his name, not the demigod. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. It's pretty obvious. The spiritual master says, do this, you do that. He says, don't do that, you don't do that. It's simple thing. Number four, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. We should never see this literature as mundane. This is transcendental literature. This is coming. This knowledge is coming from the kingdom of God. It is not ordinary speculative and so-called knowledge like the scientists or the philosophers of this world. This is direct revelation of God. Therefore, Krishna says, Raja Vidya. This is the king of education. He tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 2, Jnanam Tehum Vigyanam. Jnanam tehan sadhya jnanam aham. He says that this knowledge I shall now declare to you this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So if you can understand this knowledge coming from Krishna, then you are the knower of everything. So one should never think this is some speculative imagination of some, you know, ancient poets. This is direct revelation from God. To consider the glory of chanting Hare Krishna the imagination. Well, those Hare Krishnas, they have all this hype about the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna. It's just hype to get us to join their organization. No. This is real. The name of Krishna is Krishna himself. And with the power of this name, you become qualified to become a personal associate of Supreme Lord. That's a fact. Number six, to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. The Sanskrit scholars will do that, you see. Well, Krishna means black, and black means dark, and dark means ignorance. So, Krishna means ignorance. Avoid these rascal, mundane scholars. They have no access to this knowledge. They may try to lick the outside of the honey jar, but they can never get to the inside. Only the devotee, one who has surrendered fully to Guru and Krishna, can stick his tongue in the honey, inside that jar. Number seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Well, I just really feel like going down the night to the nightclub, and picking up a chick, but I'm going to chant some extra rounds tomorrow to make up for it. No. Don't do that. That's very, very, that is the greatest sin to think, well, I just have to fall down, but I'll chant extra rounds to make up for it. No. The holy name should not be used for your sense gratification. The holy name is for giving up sense gratification. Number eight, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas, the spirit of activity. The holy name is not for any material purpose, in other words. You should only utilize it to awaken the love of God within your heart. I think, well, you know, I want my kids to do well in school, so I'll chant an extra round every day for my kids' education. That's not operative. If you want to do well in your education, then help them with their homework. But don't chant an extra round. Don't chant with the mentality, this is so my kids can make good grades in school. That's definitely a non-operative. Don't do like that. The name is the development of love of God. That's what it's for. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Now some may think, well, I didn't really like to go out and preach anyway, you know, so this is my excuse. You're not supposed to say this about the glory of the holy name. But Prabhupada elaborates, he says, anyone can take part in chanting the holy name of the Lord, but in the beginning, one should not be instructed about the transcendental potency of the Lord. Those who are too sinful cannot appreciate the transcendental glories of the Lord, and therefore it's better not to instruct them in this matter. For example, back in the heyday of the hippie era, Amsterdam in Europe was the headquarters of the hippies. So devotees were there preaching. And any time they tried to explain the philosophy, all this blasphemy would come out of the hippies. Prabhupada said, don't preach then, just do kirtan, you see. So you have to judge according to time, place, and audience. If people are becoming offensive, then you have to shift your strategy immediately, as Prabhupada told these devotees to do. You should just do the kirtan. If they can't hear philosophy, then just do the kirtan. So the idea is you instruct people to the extent that they can accept it and appreciate it. If they become blasphemous, then you have to back off. That's what this means. It doesn't mean not to preach. It means use your intelligence when you preach to not cause people to commit blasphemy. You have to tell people on their level what they can relate to and understand. That's the point. Because Lord Chaitanya has instructed, Yadi Dika Tadi Kaha Krishna Upadesha, preach to everybody. So you have to know how to preach to everybody in such a way that they are connected and not They don't become offensive. And that means, for the Majjhimadikari, it means the devotee in the middle class, it means he has to distinguish between who is innocent and who is envious. If you try to preach to those people who just criticize Krishna, you're preaching to the wrong people. You need to preach to people who are open, who are going to learn and hear about Krishna. The tenth offense is not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So someone might say, but how can I give up my material attachment? How is it possible? How is it practical? It is practical. All you have to do is become more and more attached to Krishna. It's like a little kid, he's very attached to his teddy bear, isn't it? Some of you probably here, adults, you probably had teddy bears that you're very attached to when you were a little kid. You see? In India, I don't know if they had teddy bears. You get the idea. But the adult, when you're kids, you're really attached to our toys, right? Where are those toys now? Are you feeling depressed and devastated because you don't know where your fire truck is? As a little kid, we would have been devastated. My fire truck is missing. Or a car, dad backed the car over my fire truck and it's ruined. It'd be like the end of the world for a little kid, you see? But as an adult, who cares about my fire truck and my teddy bear, you see? I have other things now I'm interested in. So Krishna consciousness is like that. You see, those material attachments that were the end all and be all of your existence, now they've been reduced to insignificance. Why? Because you have found a new love. You love your sense gratification, and you loved all those who facilitated your sense gratification. But now you have found a new love. You have found Krishna. That supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renowned, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, all-famous personality who's the source of all existence, who's all-pervading within every atom, between every atom, at the same time, beyond the whole thing, simply playing his flute in Goloka Vrindavan on the bank of the Jamuna in the full moon night of the Sharad season. Now you become a lover of Krishna. Or you're trying to become a lover of Krishna, seriously. Of course, we don't think we are lovers of Krishna. Even Lord Chaitanya said like that. He said, I have no love for Krishna. And the proof is that now I'm maintaining my body except in the absence of Krishna. If I had any love of Krishna, because he is now not present before me, I would die in the pain of separation. The fact that I'm still living proves I have zero love for Krishna. So we never think we have love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says, I have no love for Krishna. We think I'm trying to develop my love for Krishna. I'm trying to awaken my love for Krishna by this process. So then there's the extra add-on. It is also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. There's different kinds of inattentiveness while chanting. One is called jabber japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How are you doing, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. How's everything going over there in Sydney? Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. See, you chat with somebody while you're doing your rounds. That's chatting and chanting at the same time. That's jabber japa. That's really inattentive. Another one is dive bomber japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare Rama. So if you're sleepy, you know, sit straight, stand up, walk back and forth. Learn how to stay absorbed in the name. This is meditation. It's not just something you get over with. You have to say this many repetitions and I finish with it. No. You have to dive into it. It's a transcendental meditation. You are connecting with God. You're going online with the Supreme Person. You see? You're logging in to Golok. They get a good connection, you know, the broadest possible bandwidth you can get with Krishna. So the deeper you go into the mantra, that increases your bandwidth more and more and more and more. That's it. When your bandwidth gets wide enough, your psychological bandwidth gets wide enough, and Krishna will appear in front of you. That's it. That Prabhupada actually ordered me like that. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So don't be inattentive when chanting japa. If some friend comes over and they're talking to you and you don't give them your attention, your mind is going somewhere else. What will they feel like? They say something to you, they feel like they're just talking to the wall and not even talking to you. So don't treat Krishna that way. You give Krishna your full attention. You're having your personal meeting with God every day. Give Krishna your full, undivided attention. That now's my time to meet with God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by avoiding these 10 offenses, by following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, by being obedient to your spiritual master, then you will progress gradually, gradually through all the stages. Anarthana Vritti, getting all that dirt out of your heart, and then Nishtha, becoming a solidly fixed up devotee. And then what happens? Ruchi. You get a very, very, very sweet taste from this process. The name is just so sweet. The offering obeisances is so sweet. Scrubbing the pots for Krishna, sweeping the floor. Any devotional activity becomes so sweet, you could do that activity for millions of years and never get tired of it. That's the ruchi stage. And then what happens? Then you become totally attached to Krishna, completely addicted to Krishna. Totally addicted. Like Lord Chaitanya said, feeling your separation is like a 12 years or more. The thought of not being connected with Krishna is absolutely intolerable. And then you become completely free of all the contamination. You have eruptions of emotions within the heart, bhava, and then full-blown love of God and prema, where you're directly having exchange with Krishna, personal exchange with Krishna at every moment, the prema state. So this is your beginning. Now you're getting initiated. Now you have to stick with the process. Be good students. Do your homework. Your homework is those rounds, principles, instructions the spiritual master gives you. This is your homework. To serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada. You see. The spiritual master is giving you your life's mission to make Prabhupada's mission a success. You see. That's your mission. So take this very seriously. Take it as the most important vow you've ever made in your whole life and never deviate. In this way, you become perfect in Krishna consciousness. So now, the sweetest part of the whole part of this whole ceremony is we give the names and the deeds. So, first, I call the initiate. The initiate, he or she, should come up and offer their obeisances to the left side toward the deities and Prabhupada. And then they should offer their obeisances to their spiritual master, with the pranam mantras about. So first of all, and then we will give the name and the deeds. So first I'm asking for Bhakta Michael Raj to come forward. So Bhakta Michael, what are the... How many rounds do you chant every day?
16 rounds.
Huh?
16 rounds.
At least 16 rounds.
At least 16 rounds.
Why are you limiting yourself? At least 16 rounds. So what are the four leg lighter principles that you will avoid?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication.
Very good. So your name is Madhavananda Das. One who gives pleasure to Madhava. So who gives pleasure to Madhava? Who gives pleasure to Madhava? Srimati Radharani. So who is the servant of Srimati Radharani? Madhavananda. I think I'll have the wives come up back to the husband. Is that good? Okay. So now we'll call Jasa Maharaj. You come? Is that a new name? So how many rounds will you chant every day? Yes, at least. Very good. Right. And what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling.
Very good. So, your name is Jashoda Priya Devi Dasi. And we were here to Mother Jashoda. Who is that? Jashoda. Okay, now we'll just. We're gonna start. You'll be next now. Bhakta Nityan is next. So, how many Bhakta Nityan? How many rounds will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds.
Very good. And what are the four regulative principles?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, including tea, and no meat eating, including eggs.
Very good. So, your name is. Nanda Dulal Das. The one who was very, very dear to Nanda, Krishna. Okay, and now we'll take Bhakta Vijay. So, Bhakta Vijay, how many rounds will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds, will be.
At least how many?
16 rounds.
Yes. And what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Very good. So your name is Vasudev Das. And this name, Vasudev, has two meanings. And they both indicate Krishna. One meaning is the son of Vasudev. Vasudev, Vasudev. The second meaning is one who is all-pervading, or one, or Prabhupada says, one who lives everywhere. So you're the servant of the one who lives everywhere. That means you have, wherever you go, you have to serve him, because he's everywhere. You can't escape Vasudev, and you're Vasudev Das, so you must serve him everywhere. Yeah. Okay, now we will call Dhanraj. So about the Dhanraj, Shamani. Round will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds.
Very good. And now, what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling.
Very good. So, your name is Dina Vatsal Das. So, this name, Dina Vatsal, has a twofold meaning. It means one who is very kind to those who are fallen. So, that is Krishna. He is the Vishnu Dina Vatsal. But the devotee also, he is Dina Vatsal. He is very kind to those who are fallen. So, the devotee, because he is kind to those who are fallen, he preaches Krishna consciousness. He dedicates his life for giving Krishna to others. And Prabhupada explains in this connection that when the devotee does that, he becomes the favorite of the demigods. You see, other people, they are flattering the demigods for this thing and that thing. But one who dedicates his life to preaching, he doesn't have to worship the demigods because they automatically give him all favors because they're very happy that he engaged in the ultimate welfare work of preaching Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Okay, now we will ask for Jalmudi, wife of Dhanraj. So, Bhakti and Jalmudi, how many rounds will you chant every day?
At least 16 rounds.
Yes. And what are the four regulative principles?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no intoxication.
Very good. So, your name is Tunga Vidya Devi Dasi. Tunga Vidya is one of the Ashtasakhi. The Ashtasakis are there in Mayapur in deity form. If you go to the altar in Mayapur, on the far left, that is Tungavidya. So you are her servant. When you go to Mayapur, you can see Tungavidya, and you are the servant of Tungavidya. Yeah.